Today, you can open up scripture to Luke chapter 13. We're actually going to now go back and start looking through a large chunk of scripture. So after this, these parables we're going to look at today, we'll continue in Luke chapter 13 for a little while, just looking at some parables of Jesus and some things that he says. So question I have for you today, before we go to Luke chapter 13, starting in verse 18, is this. How do you describe the kingdom of God? What's the kingdom of God like, after all? You know, someone once told me, as I had to be writing lots of essays for schoolwork, they said, listen, if you can't write it in one sentence, then you're not going to be able to write it in a whole page or paragraph. And it's a good idea. If you can't say something clearly and concisely in just a sentence, then you're probably just going to be rambling for the whole page. And if you can't say something in a paragraph, then you're not going to be able to say it in 20 pages, that's for sure. So how do you make sure you understand what Jesus is saying in a clear and concise way? Or if we ask a really big question, like, what's the kingdom of God? How do you describe the kingdom of God? We need to be able to answer in a short and simple answer. And that's what we have from Jesus today. Jesus actually teaches two parables today, but they're both very, very short. And in each parable, he tries to answer for us, concisely as possible for our understanding, what the kingdom of God is in a very small way. But it's amazing, as we read these parables, we discover quickly that though Jesus only used a few words, he communicated a whole lot of truth to us in these short parables. Luke chapter 13, starting in verse 18. Jesus said, therefore, what is the kingdom of God like? What can I compare it to? It's like a mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the sky nested in its branches. Again, he said, what can I compare the kingdom of God to? It's like leaven that a woman took and mixed into 50 pounds of flour until it was all leavened. This is the word of the Lord for us today. What's the kingdom of God like? What's the kingdom of heaven like? It's like a tree, a large tree that grows from a tiny seed. It starts small, but it grows, and it grows so large that all the birds can nest in its branches. You might understand I have a particular affinity for any parables that mention birds nesting in its branches, just because it's my namesake. But also, I love a good parable dealing with food. And so Jesus follows it up, talking about one of my favorite things, bread. He says, you know, you take just a little bit of leaven, a little bit of yeast, that is, and it doesn't matter how much flour you have, it will eventually work its way through the whole dough. And so he takes an absurd amount. This is like 50 pounds. And nobody's out there trying to make the world's largest pizza crust with 50 pounds of flour. It's an enormous amount. Some of you have bought like 50-pound bags of rice here in quarantine time, and you're going to be eating off of that for the next 3 years. That's a lot of product. So even a little bit of yeast, you give it some time, it'll work its way through the entire thing. And Jesus says this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. So what does it mean? Well, Scripture has a principle, a call for us. We are not to despise small things. Don't despise small things or things that start out small, because this is the way the kingdom of heaven works, is that it starts out small and it grows large. You know, a lot of the people, a lot of the Israelites at the time, the Jews, were, when Jesus came, they were expecting a Messiah, but they were expecting somebody who was going to come in like a general, raise up the army, bring them to freedom immediately. And what they get is a baby born in a manger. I mean, they're expecting this great Savior who's going to come robed in white and going to fix all their problems immediately. And what they get is the son of a carpenter who gathers together a bunch of fishermen. They get a man from Nazareth, from Galilee. And Jesus is not what they're expecting. And they look around his disciples and they say, these are the kind of people who are with you? You couldn't find better disciples than these roughneck fishermen? And that's the context in which Jesus tells this parable. And Jesus says, essentially, What kind of person despises small beginnings? It says, the kingdom of God is like this. It is a mustard seed. It starts small in this way. But as a prophecy and as a promise, Jesus says it is going to spread to the entire world and to the entire place. And so it is. You know, the crowds are unwilling to accept Jesus because he doesn't meet their expectations, because they're going to despise this small start. But this is the way the kingdom of God always works. In fact, this parable about a large tree with birds nesting in it, this image comes from out of the Old Testament. In fact, just a few weeks ago, I feel like, I recorded a video for you guys preaching out of Daniel chapter 4, where Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and he dreams that there's this giant tree in the world, but it gets cut down by the command of God and capped. And Daniel explains the dream, and he says that this could be Nebuchadnezzar. He's a large tree, but he's arrogant, and if he remains arrogant, he's going to be cut down by God. Sure enough, God humbles the proud, but God lifts up the lowly. And there's a lot of great passages in the Old Testament that talk about Jesus coming, this sprig that shoots up out of the stump of Jesse, out of the root of Jesse. And Jesus is going to come and he's going to make all things right, but out of a small beginning. Even better is Ezekiel chapter 17. Where scripture says, God speaking says, I will take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and I will plant it. I will pluck a tender sprig from the topmost shoots and I will plant it on a high towering mountain. I will plant it on Israel's high mountain so that it may bear branches, produce fruit and become a majestic cedar. Birds of every kind will nest under it, taking shelter in the shadow of its branches. Then all the trees of the field will know that I am God. I bring down the tall tree and I make the low tree tall. I cause the green tree to wither and I make the withered tree thrive. I am the Lord. I have spoken. I will do it. It's such a beautiful passage. He speaks about how he is the one who is going to establish this kingdom, this powerful tree, of which people from everywhere, here represented as birds, are going to go and nest in the branches, all of them from all over the place. He says, I'm the kind of God who cuts down the arrogant, but who exalts those who are humble. And so from a humble beginning, a sprig, I'm going to establish my kingdom. When Christ comes, he comes in the most humble way possible. And yet, in a short amount of time, he establishes his kingdom permanently and forever. He builds in a very short period a kingdom that everyone is invited to, that birds from all over the world can flock into and take shelter. One that is established all over the world. So don't despise small beginnings. Don't despise small things. This is how God works. Are you a part of a little Sunday school class? Well, friends, if you have Scripture, and you do, and if you have the Holy Spirit, which you do if you're in Christ, then you have everything you need. Don't despise a small thing. Don't be worried if you're a part of a trifling or small thing. Do you participate in a very small ministry? Don't be ashamed of this. God uses small things in order to change the lives of many. Are you a part of a small church? It's nothing to worry about or be bothered by. After all, if you have the Spirit and you have the Word, then you have everything you need. If God is the one doing the work, then you've got everything you need. In fact, it's interesting in this parable how anonymous the man is who's doing the sowing. The focus is on the seed and on the tree that comes out of it. But what does the man do, this farmer, this person who plants the seed? I mean, he does little more than this, you know, flicks it. I mean, he plants a seed, but the seed is the gospel. And the work of growing the seed is God's work. The man can't make the seed grow, but God does. So if we are this man, a part of small things, but we have the gospel, this piece of truth and knowledge, then all we have to do is plant it and allow God to work. Do not despise small things. However, you should be converted by small truths. It's fun how he compares it to a mustard seed or just a little bit of yeast. You open up a packet of yeast and it's just about the size, little grains about the size of mustard seeds all balled up together. When you do that, you're supposed to understand, you're supposed to think about how the gospel is a very simple piece of truth, but it's able to change your life completely. You ought to be converted, and when you're converted, you ought to be converted by this small truth. The small truth that gets into you, like a little bit of yeast gets into a whole loaf of bread, the small truth is this. There's a God. He's good. He has good planned for you. The small piece of truth is this. God wants you to be saved. Just take a moment and think about the small truth of the gospel. There's a good God who cares about you and desires your salvation. He's already done all the work for it. He's good. We're not. We're wrong and sinful. But God himself has already paid the price for our sins, Jesus Christ on the cross. He died and he rose again. He invites everyone to be a part of his kingdom. What a small and simple thing. And yet this is the truth that will change our lives. None of us are born knowing this. And yet at some point in our lives, we hear this simple, small truth. Hey, good news. God is good. Hey, I have good news for you. Christ died for all sinners, of which I am one. Hey, good news. God is not slow about keeping his promises, but he is patient because he desires your salvation. If God is for us, who can be against us? You know, the first time you hear this gospel, it's like a small seed, just this piece of truth that gets into your mind. And you might reject it at first, saying, no, that can't be true. This is all too good to be true. If there's a God, then he ought to be more angry about how evil we are. If there's a God and he sees me and my life and the fact that I go on sinning, then he won't accept me. He can't be good. In fact, there must not be one. And yet, if this little seed gets into your life, this gospel truth, that there's a good God, his sacrifice on the cross was good enough for all you've done. This God desires your salvation. It's a small truth to believe, but when you come to believe this, when you come to cry out and say, yes, please, Jesus, be my Lord, well, that is conversion. That is being a Christian. Is to believe and trust in him and have the forgiveness of your sins. Don't despise small things, but rather allow yourself today to be converted by this simple and small truth of what God has done for you, the gospel. Next, don't be ashamed of a small faith. You know, as you've come to believe in Christ, as you've come to put your trust in him, don't be ashamed that your faith is little, that you don't know a lot. We all begin someplace. We now have fun stories that we can tell of people who have trusted Christ in all age groups, from young children here at our church, all the way well up to people in their 80s who have put their trust in Christ and been baptized here. And it's been beautiful to see everywhere along the way, at every age group, people who have started fresh, who have accepted this small grain, this small mustard seed, have accepted the truth of the gospel and believed it, and it's begun to work out in their life and start to change their life, even as the gospel is changing the whole world. And it's always fun, you know, beginning stories of little faux pas or little silly things that happened that people didn't know better about. But you don't need to be embarrassed about the things you didn't know yet or having a small faith or a new young faith. Don't be discouraged. We laugh at some of these things. Just allow it to grow. You know, there was about a year ago, there was a child here at our church who came to trust Christ, but he heard that, you know, if you believe and ask Jesus for forgiveness and offer your life to Jesus, then you get to go to heaven. But what he heard was, when you believe and offer your life to Jesus, you go to heaven at that moment. That he was afraid that if he said, okay, Jesus is Lord and put his trust in Christ, that he was going to die that moment and go to heaven. And he didn't want that, obviously. And so it took a few months for him to articulate this to his parents and hear the truth that he believed, he had come to believe, but now he was ready to make a commitment because he understood all the better. He grew in his faith and understanding. This is the way we all do. We've had new believers who have come to our church and given their life to Christ. And, you know, one fun memory, people who shall remain nameless, is one Sunday when one of our members, an adult, came from a nominally Catholic background sometime in the past, but came to trust Christ and was ready to be baptized. This person was baptized, and then on that same Sunday, took communion for the first time, took the Lord's Supper with us, because we were serving that day. And so I saw this person sitting on the front row with their spouse, and as we're passing out the Lord's Supper, I mean, they're new to this. This is the first time they've even seen us taking the Lord's Supper, and the first time they've taken the Lord's Supper like this. And so, you know, as soon as the bowl of oyster crackers comes by, they take one and just pop it straight in the mouth, not thinking anything of it, because this is somewhat what you do in a Catholic situation, is they give it to you and you just put it right in the mouth and you're done with it. And then looked around real quick and saw that, you know, here we're taking this together, so we all get the piece, but we wait till we can take it at the same time. Looked around, went, oh no, and kind of spit out a little oyster cracker to hold on to it for a second. And it was nobody saw this or knew about this except me and this one person, but it's a fun memory now. Because you don't need to be ashamed or embarrassed of a small faith. Trust Christ. You don't need to know everything or understand everything. But commit yourself to him and say, you know what, Jesus, I'm ready to learn. It takes time for this mustard seed, this faith of ours, to grow into a great tree. It takes time for the yeast to work its way through the bread loaf. And it takes time for us to grow in our knowledge of God, our relationship with him, our ability to trust him and obey him better. Don't be concerned. Don't be worried. Don't be upset if you're not yet where you want to be. That's a great starting place for you to continue to grow in Christ. Don't despise small things, but be converted by this small thing, the gospel. And then don't be discouraged if your faith is small at first, but continue to trust Christ and continue to obey him and allow him, the Holy Spirit in you, to be the one who grows you up and raises you up to trust Christ. There may come a time in your life when you had been struggling over jealousy in a certain area of your life, but just by the work of God, you start to realize you're not bothered with jealousy about the same things that you used to be. You see somebody achieving good things and you're just excited for them, and it doesn't make you jealous for your life that you wish you were doing it. And there's such joy in realizing that God has been at work in you and he is growing you up. To even remember the things that used to bother you that aren't bothering you anymore. Some of you, if you struggle with anger, there coming a time after a lot of work and a lot of commitment to trusting God and even some falling back, but you start to realize that the things that would have set you off in the past, now you have more self-control. You're able to avoid that moment of high blood pressure where you just start to boil over something little or silly. There's such joy in experiencing God raising us up and building us up and the Holy Spirit bearing fruit in our life. So don't be discouraged when your faith is small, but continue and pursue in it and allow God to encourage you and build you up. Finally, don't be discouraged by your, meager estate. It's possible that in your life you just feel small. The gospel is for everyone, whether it's people who are powerful or people who have very little social power. The gospel is for everyone, whether it be people who are extremely wealthy or people who live in dire poverty. If you don't have much, if you don't have much means, if you don't have much money or capital, if you don't really have any power in society, or you don't think of yourself as a particularly important social figure, don't let this discourage you. Because you are exactly the kind of person that God likes to exalt and lift up. Jesus himself said, blessed are the humble. Blessed are the meek. So don't be discouraged by your meager estate, or don't despise yourself if you feel like you're not well-spoken. You feel like you're not, you know, the kind of person who should get up in front of people. These things don't matter. Don't be discouraged if you don't have a lot of formal education. It's wonderful to have formal education, wealth, all these things, but they're unnecessary for you to live a joyful, fulfilling, fruitful life in Christ. What you need is the Word of God and Scripture and the Holy Spirit working in you. After that, what else matters? If you have the seed of faith, if you have the gospel implanted in you, and if you have God growing it, then all you need to do is continue to hold on to trusting Him and committing yourself to day in, day out, obeying Him and pursuing after Him all the more. Go ahead and leave behind the old life of despairing about how you don't have what you need or you want more that someone else has. Now start to rejoice, because in Christ we have everything we need. The presence of God now, the empowerment of God now, and the promise of eternal life with Him in His kingdom. Because you see, the kingdom of God is like this. It starts small. It's just a simple mustard seed. It's just the simple truth that God is good and He has good planned for you. That we are sinners, but He's already paid for our sins, and He wants us to be saved. Listen to these small truths today and allow yourself to believe them. Take this seed of the gospel into your heart so that they can grow and bear fruit in your entire life. So, the kingdom of God, it's like a mustard seed. It's like a little bit of yeast, but it spreads and it grows. Christ began His kingdom small, but it is growing even now to fill the entire world. There will be people from every tribe, tongue, and nation who will be there worshiping Him in His kingdom forever. You, your faith, you may start small, but don't be discouraged. Your means, you may have little, but don't be discouraged. Trust God and rejoice that He has provided us all that we really need. Amen.